series, and I'm just going to do this once a month. We'll get back to Baptist history most of the weeks in a month, but I wanted to call it God's Hand in American History, or maybe Miracles in American History. And I was thinking this morning, you know, we live in a interesting time, and you've heard the term cancel culture. And the cancel culture, at least as I understand it, is that, of course, I would say it's, I think everybody knows this, it's based on total ignorance, especially historical ignorance. But if someone doesn't agree with me, I'm going to make them a non-person. I'm going to erase every memory of them. I'm going to tear down their statues. I'm going to, maybe if they're current, I'm going to try to ruin their business or ruin their life. This is not new. This has actually been very common in world history. Whenever socialism or communism comes into a country, they'll burn books that they don't agree with. That's what's happening today. We're burning books. Dr. Seuss has been burned. As trivial as that is, isn't that something? And we'll tear down statues of people that we don't believe, that don't believe like us. I always think of poor Abraham Lincoln, man. The guy can't get a break. He frees the slaves. He gets killed for doing it, and they're still tearing his statue down. So, I don't know. Feel bad for him. But anyway, I say that the thought occurred to me that one of the reasons we have this culture happening today is because American history hasn't been taught, at least correctly, in the public schools. So millions and millions of people graduating having no idea about the founding of our country and the miracles that God provided for our country. And so I thought, well, let's try to undo some of that, and maybe some here don't know some of these things. And I thought I'd take just a week a month and just talk about some amazing things that have happened in American history. Some will be about Baptists, some won't be about Baptists. Some will be about people that aren't religious at all. And just talk about those, and maybe really help us to see this country we live in and the exceptional nature of this country. You know, the millions of people in our country, and I think that, you know, we would be among them, think there's something very special, something exceptional about the United States. In fact, millions of people across the world believe the same thing, and they want it to be true. I hope you see what I said there. They hope it's true, what we believe about American exceptionalism. And this belief that there's something special about America is almost an entirely an American trait. Other countries don't necessarily think the same thing about their own country. We sing songs about pride welling up in our hearts as we see the flag fly, and we maybe wipe a tear away in a Star Spangled Banner. That's unusual, really, in the world, and certainly in world history. And I will say that many people hate us for that feeling and the way we think about ourselves. It offends them that we might be different. Right after the country was founded, there was a French philosopher, Alexis de Tocqueville, and he wrote extensively about America and came over here and traveled America and wrote about it being different and why it was different. That thinking was described almost 200 years earlier by the man who founded Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And we might talk a little bit about that, and we have talked about that. But Governor John Winthrop, he described the colony as a city on a hill. And Ronald Reagan reintroduced that idea with the phrase that inspired us all, a shining city on a hill, and how special that speech was as he described America. So there are many ideas that people might think looking at America from the outside, and maybe we would look at this and say the same thing sometimes about why we're exceptional. You know, we have a constitution that's the highest law in the land. It emphasizes individual freedoms and rights. It protects the citizens from the government. hopefully. The adherence to, another thought would be the adherence to private morality. How that somebody said there can be no public virtue without private morality. The idea that is not unique to us today, but is very unique in the last, in the history of the world, the idea that all citizens are created equal and everybody is equal under the law. There, of course, are some geographical and things that make America exceptional, natural resources that make our country unique. But these are great, and these are good things, but this is not what I mean by exceptionalism. When you hear that phrase, you typically we're not referring to those things. But the idea is, and what I'm referring to, is that there is a supernatural explanation for America, or the idea that God intended our nation to be a beacon on a hill. And so the question is, does God consider the United States an exceptional place? Maybe a place with a specific purpose or plan? Is it possible that God has ordained and defended the United States at points? There are critical points in our history. Some of these we'll talk about. That the things were so stacked against the United States that we very easily could have failed and maybe should have failed, humanly speaking. And the question is, did God intervene? Did God intervene to save us, to save the nation? Did he perhaps intend for us to be an example of liberty and some of these other virtues to the rest of the world? I would say that the evidence is a bit overwhelming. And I want to take this time every month and talk about some key points where God did provide miracles and did protect us from failing and really assured the nation that it would survive. In the summer of 1787, there was a constitutional convention called to create the Constitution that we have now. And the delegates there were struggling with some almost insurmountable problems that they had to deal with. And Benjamin Franklin stood to his feet and he said this, of all people, Benjamin Franklin, he said, in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and were graciously answered. I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. What a great testimony from a man at the Constitutional Convention. I will talk about some men and women, maybe that I'll uphold, that are hated today. I'm aware of that. I will say that men are just that. They're men. They're imperfect. They have flaws. Sometimes, as I said, they're not even religious. But I think that it's good for us to review some of these people and not just jump on whatever the current bandwagon is politically. So we're going to look at a couple different things, and we're not going to start today. We're going to start next time. But we're going to look at the discovery of our country. Talk about that in just a minute, but we're going to look at, of course, the founder, the founding father, maybe the greatest founding father of our country, George Washington, and some things that happened in his life that you just can't explain away as chance, God's miracles that happened in his life. There are some things in that war of independence from Britain that can only be explained by a miracle of God. And we'll talk about even some things in World War II. I think of there is an assassination attempt on a president that is miraculously stopped by God. And so next time we're going to start with a man that is really generates many different kinds of emotions in people. On one hand, he has a national holiday that we celebrate. And on the other hand, his statue is being torn down as we speak, especially in the last year or two. But he was a man of vision and unbelievable bravery. And according to his writings, he believed that his success was the result of heavenly guidance. And this is probably why he was so persistent in what he did. So the first miracle we're going to look at next time is the discovery of America. and the very unlikely man that God used to do that.